I remember when we were strong. Back in the days before King Tenebrae and his royal guard, and the people of Amozrin took up their own arms for fun and profit. Before all that, here was just us, the Viridian Outriders. We kept the roads and trails safe and secure, with homes and forts scattered about and locales civilized and not. Time passed, and we have been replaced. And yet, I hear the rumblings and murmurs of the roads being less safe than they had been. Monsters sniffing around in smaller towns, and magic acting oddly. Who knows? Maybe we'll be needed again.
Hello, and welcome back to Another Path. My name is Chase, and I remain your GM. Today, the Battle of Carver's Cliff. As a production note, keen-eared listeners will remember that in the last episode, Justin had a class feature running that gave him a specter. Due to recording delays, we absolutely forgot that that was running at the top of the episode. It's resolved fairly early on, but I did want to make note of it. Thank you to our backers, Rin, Savani, and Two Nerds in a Pod for their support. If you like what you hear, consider donating to us at patreon.com/ghostlightmedia, and maybe try checking out some of the other shows on the network. And with that, sit back, relax, and enjoy your trip down another path.
We are gathered here today to get through this thing called life, which is much sadder now. I'd like to thank you all for coming out this fine evening. Good. As we raise our glasses and our mugs to Eyesteer Brewing. Mm-hmm. You were a good time. You were good people. Good and you were a magical holy place.
We will meet again. What is dead may never die.
What is dead may never die.
What is dead may never die.
Holds up pretty well, oh, man.
God, that was not great.
Ryan has a growler. Chase has it in canned form.
Can held up better than the half growler that Ryan has had sitting in his fridge for like 3 weeks.
I can taste the tea, and it's not
good
in a good way.
Oh, no. It's always in a good way.
I will be. I'm very sad that I never got the last chance. Hang on, Ryan's dying.
Just give it a good shake.
I did.
Give it another shake. Give it a gooder shake.
Give it a rattle and a roll.
Guys, I'm trying so hard.
So for those who are unaware, Eyesteer Brewing, who we have talked about many, many times and collaborated with over the years, did unfortunately have to close its doors at the end of February. This is just the first time we've recorded since then. It is an unfortunate circumstance. It is... obviously, I'm not going to go into the personal business of our dear friend Chris, who owned and operated Eyesteer. I will say that it was not due to a lack of love or popularity in the community. And it is and will be dearly, dearly missed up here. But yeah, Chris is off to greener pastures, and we couldn't be happier for him. And of course, all our love goes out to the folks who worked at Eyesteer, particularly Jacob, who was the stalwart bartender there for many, many years. I drive by the building regularly because it's over by Kroger where I shop. Yeah. And it's a bummer and a half, but say love.
I never went, and I'm really sad about that.
Yeah.
You are kind of far away.
It was one of those where I didn't know my last Eyesteer trip was going to be my last Eyesteer trip, because I'm not as far away as Justin, but it is tricky working weekends and whatnot to be able to make it up to see folks. I can take some brief solace in the fact that I did get to show my girlfriend Eyesteer at least once.
Yes.
And as a fan and listener of the show, it was super weird to be able to show her the fucking shrine we have on the mantle. Like, that's an experience that I'll never be able to, like, properly explain to people.
And the shrine did go with Chris. He still has all of that.
He took it.
God love you.
Yeah, it was real weird going in there because the guy who lent Chris all the weapons on the wall did take all the weapons back before they closed. So that was a little surreal, but being able to go in there those last couple of weekends, like there was a massive show of support to like drink the place dry. Is it? Even like it just randomly, Half Ill of Shakespeare fame was up that weekend as well. So we got to say hi to him and he got to wish Chris farewell. He is going to be moving down, towards Southern Ohio. So we may get him around, a catacomb time, when That's we roll back true. Out there
this
again.
That's true. Speaking of alcohol,
go on.
I went on a business trip this week, and one of my colleagues who works remotely, she came along with us as well, and she is very much Gen Z.
Excellent.
And I don't remember the last time I felt this old, and I teach theater to 12-year-olds.
Look, being around Gen Z, that happens.
Yeah.
Sure does.
I'm around a lot of my coworkers who are either like firmly Gen Z or like they're right on that cusp. They're right on that like born in like 98 to like 2002 range, you know? Mm-hmm.
It's a little different.
The worst is when you're talking to someone who's Gen Z and you can, based on like how they're talking to you, you can tell that they think you're old.
Yeah, I got that a couple times.
Yeah. Now, the slight age difference between us is coming through because I was getting this a couple of years ago after my brother moved to town and he started making friends in the area.
Yeah.
And it's like, I'm my little brother's big brother. Like, that's always going to be the case. But like meeting up with his friends, it's like, I'm an old guy to you. Like,
yeah.
I have a coworker who's like 22. I am like, oh yeah, I am a full decade older than you. You see me as an old person.
Yep.
I have several coworkers who I'm a full decade older than. I'm just like, oh my God.
Yeah, it's rough.
This particular Gen Zer, who is delightful. She's a wonderful human. We were talking about like things we enjoy watching and doing. We're talking about like shows and this and that. And somebody said, well, how about you? What do you watch? He goes, I don't really watch a lot of traditional media anymore. It's mostly YouTube and streamers.
Sure.
Sure. Yeah.
And she did, by doing that, lump Netflix and Disney Plus into traditional media.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And I felt so old.
They're at least the platforms for, you know, a lot of older shows and films and things like that.
And
so,
like, who the fuck has cable anymore? Like,
nobody.
That is how I
have my parents.
Same.
Like. But yet we have the streaming services where that traditional media is kept.
Correct. Yeah. And that's the thing, exactly what I was getting at. It's like, I don't have any form of traditional media, but I have Max and I have Hulu, which means like, if there's something on a network, like, unless it's on Paramount, which I feel like my wife and I get a subscription to like once or twice a year to catch whatever random shit is on there that we need to see.
Mean Girls, the musical movie, now on Paramount Plus.
Ah, good to know.
Also, Survivor, a new season just started a few weeks ago.
So we're saying the same thing. Mean Girls, the movie, musical, Survivor.
Mean Girls, yes, it's very, very good. I enjoyed it very much. But also, Survivor.
I'm saying that Mean Girls is Survivor.
And I'm saying that Survivor is also Survivor.
I didn't take you for a Survivor fan, Justin.
Oh, I'm big into it.
You and Zach Robb.
I play Fantasy Survivor.
That's a thing?
Yeah.
That's incredible. I love that.
Excuse the fuck out of me?
No, hold on. This is the podcast now. Please go. Continue.
Yeah,
Chase, we're not playing D&D tonight. We're playing Fantasy Survivor.
Okay. No, it's...
That's just D&D.
It's a real thing. We start the season and we draft... We like ordered the survivors and like who we think is going to win. And then we get two draft picks from that. And it like auto generates a draft. And then if they win challenges, we get points. And you also get a certain amount of points each week that you can assign to who you think is going to get voted out. And if you're right, you get that amount of points. It's
so it's like great. It's cumulative over the course of the season of TV.
Oh, yeah.
That's great.
That actually sounds really good.
It is
like I'm not going to start watching Survivor, but But if that was the way my life was going, I would absolutely be a Fantasy Survivor player.
It makes you so much more invested in the season.
Oh, sure.
And it also gets you to learn the people's names right away. Because before I would watch
true,
it
yeah,
and like
yeah.
halfway through the season, I'd be like, I don't know any of their names.
Right.
Now you have vested interest.
You see, now I want to do Fantasy Survivor if Game Changer does another season of Survivor.
Ooh, that would be fun, because I did really like those episodes.
Yeah. I was on the Instagram, and I found the most atonal thing that makes the least sense piece of video game tie-in merch I have ever seen.
I would like
to go around the table. Everybody tell me what you think I found.
Can we get like a general genre?
Action RPG.
Action RPG. What just is it a new release?
No.
Oh, okay. That does throw me off, because I was going to make some kind of like capitalist democracy joke about
Helldivers.
I was gonna say like,
hey, look, I wish
I was gonna say Hadestown. I've got Broadway on the brain.
Fair.
Hadestown, capitalist.
No, because here's the thing. I've been playing the hell out of Helldivers. Helldivers is great. Any tie-in for that is going to work. It's very easy to make it happen.
Unicorn Overlord.
Oh. Okay. What?
Unicorn Overlord.
That is your guess.
That's my guess. I'm going to go with Unicorn Overlord, and I'm going to say that they successfully made a set of miniature bobbleheads that they added unicorn hordes to of the main, like, four characters.
Okay. Okay.
And the unicorn horns are removable. They're detachable, like Legos.
Noted. Okay, Griffin.
Diablo Hearse.
Very good. Justin.
I'm going to say Super Meat Boy Costco Swedish Meatballs.
What a pull.
I genuinely wish. No, you're all wrong. The answer is Elden Ring G Fuel. Uh-huh. You can check the Discord.
No, you know, here's the thing. Elden Ring G Fuel is a thing that, like,
dude,
makes sense that it exists.
Crimson Tears on it.
The flavor is Crimson Tears.
Oh,
what does that taste like?
It tastes like Hawaiian Punch.
Get the Crimson Tears to fuel you, my lad.
You know, famed part of the Elden Ring world, Hawaii.
That's the joke I always make, because you have your red flask and your blue flask, so
right.
It's your Hawaiian Punch and your Powerade.
Yeah. Like,
that's great.
Ever since Dark Souls, you had the Estus flask, it was your Sunny D.
This game is, unless I'm much mistaken, fully 2 years old at this point.
They did just announce DLC, though.
They did, which is also very late in the game to be announcing DLC. I'm very excited for it. I was actually in the middle of a playthrough when they announced it, so I was like, I'm going to stop playing because I want to play this fucking DLC.
Yeah.
But...
Okay, I don't think you can come for Elden Ring when Skyrim has been released on every system since the Commodore 64.
Don't get me wrong, I will make fun of Skyrim every day of the week for having that absolutely chaotic and constant release schedule. Don't get me wrong. However, this is so weird that they announced that they were working on DLC at like when the game came out. And I think what probably happened is that, unlike every other DLC where they're working on it alongside the game, they actually didn't start working on it until the game is out, which nothing but mad respect for. However,
go ahead, Griffin.
I would like to, this is a bit of a callback to our Baja Blast bit a handful of episodes ago.
Please
but
present it to the court.
I have looked up the description for the G Fuel Elden Ring energy formula.
Oh, no.
In the form of a fruit, I would like you all to pitch your guesses as to what
boy.
They say
okay,
this
okay.
tastes like.
Okay.
For Elden Ring?
For Elden Ring G Fuel Energy Formula Crimson Tears.
Oh.
And it is the actual powder that you have to mix in.
It would seem that way, yes.
Like a pre-made drink, okay.
A vast open world stretches out before. It's swarming with monsters. You're gonna need a lot of energy to get you through the night.
Fuck.
You spot a chest with a faint glow about it and walk over to open it. It's the new G-Fuel Crimson Tears Energy Formula Tube, inspired by Bandai Namco's new action RPG. Elden Ring transports players to the land between, once graced by the powerful Elden Ring, which has been broken into shards and possessed by imposing demigods. The flavor of blank, your guesses.
Is it like a specific fruit?
So yes. It's got to be a red fruit, but it's not going to be a traditional red fruit because they want to be, you know, that I'm not like other girls kind of drink.
Right.
Boysenberry.
Interesting. Justin.
I'm going to say pomegranate.
Okay.
Good guess.
I'm gonna go mango.
Can I change my answer?
Yes.
Because I should have said it immediately because it fits too well. It is in fact dragon fruit.
The candy sweet flavor of prickly pears will give you the energy to help you defeat all the foes in your path in your quest to restore the Elden Ring.
That was the worst choice.
Prickly pear.
It is also the only correct choice because they had to go with a fruit that you cannot get at a traditional grocery store.
Okay, you're walking down a path. You see two treasure chests. One is the dragon fruit. Or the whatever, the Elden Ring Crimson thing, and the other one's a mimic. Uh-huh. Which one you choosing?
Mimic.
Mimic.
Mimic's probably got good loot.
There it is.
Better loot.
I mean, look, I am curious. That's all I'm gonna say.
Oh, for sure. Like for sure.
Like, I'm probably not gonna get it. But you could.
Certainly not.
I have a child. I can use $20 in a better way.
You don't want to drink G Fuel out of a waifu cup?
Oh, bro, you're dropping $35.99 plus shipping on this.
Jesus.
Is this out now?
Yes.
So I could order it right this. Hold on.
I'm dropping you the link.
Don't do it. Don't do it.
Maybe do it.
Hang on.
Ryan, do it.
Here's the thing, and this is what I... Because I was talking...
order it through G Fuel, and I... Come on, Amazon. Be better.
I mean, it might be available through Amazon. I don't know, dog.
We all know Daddy Bezos is all about that gamer subs.
Well, hold on. I would like to rescind my incredulity at gfuel.com because a buy one, get one free offer did just pop up on my screen. I could get two of these bad boys.
You could.
No, that's a deal.
You could get the Elden Ring G Fuel and the Sonic G Fuel.
Gotta go fast.
Gotta drink fast.
Gots to go fast.
What I was telling my brother earlier today, and this is a genuine opinion that I hold, is if they had released a Crimson Tears flask to drink your Crimson Tears G Fuel out of, that I would actually have gotten. I am still a little salty at Bandai for not releasing a proper Estus flask alongside.
I would get an Estus flask.
I got the, what was it? I think it was for Dark Souls 3. They did like a special edition of that came with like a full guide and Sword of Artorias or something, letter opener of thing. And it came with an Estus flask, but I did not realize until it arrived that it was not like an actual flask. It was like a solid piece of plastic that just looked like an Estus flask.
Yeah, not like a functioning.
Yeah, it was real dumb.
I just want to get the Sonic game fuel so I can walk around going, G Fuel does what Nintendo don't.
G Fuel? More G like Bor Ragnarok.
Ah, there it is. I almost said it, but then I didn't. I showed self-control for once and look where it got me. To the same place.
Justin, how do you feel knowing that this is your legacy?
You know what? Not great.
Your tombstone's just going to read Justin Betancourt.
More like.
Bor Ragnarok.
No, just more like.
But that would be so funny. For someone to find in like 300 years.
More like Bor Ragnarok. What does it mean?
not in quotes, just more like.
Yeah. That's the text.
That's it.
Go. The voice of High Captain Lucas Sutton emerges from the forest behind you.
and moves in lockstep with you all. You each take slow, steady steps in order to draw attention to the line of outriders exiting the forest. You have a moment to prepare for the oncoming battle. What do you do?
Oh, hell.
I cast aid. Sick. Pretty straightforward. I cast aid on the three of us. Plus +5 to your max hit points for 8 hours. No concentration.
Great.
And I'm going to do something else I have not done yet. I spend 2 sorcery points and I throw my hands together and spin the clock out away from me, and then time kind of reverses and backs up to me, and now I have 2 spinning clocks just kind of rotating around me, one clockwise, one counterclockwise, and I use my Sorcerer's Origin feature, Bastion of Law, and I get 2 d8s that I can use to reduce damage.
Nice.
Also, not concentration.
I'm gonna save my tricks for the fight. I'm just gonna mount up on Ignis, get my spear and my shield ready, and post up.
Yeah, I call Crunchwrap to my side to be at attention, summon my sword to my hand, get ready to go.
Okay. Lucas stands at the ready. Cecil, he is right next to you. You all start moving forward. He says to you, and it is passed down the line, that you are to take a slow, steady pace out. We're trying to draw their attention and give the rest of our team time to get into place.
Captain, you want me to make a lot of noise up front?
We're all going to make a lot of noise. We're not going to do a full-on charge. We want them to watch us. We want them to engage with us. We're trying to pull focus, not necessarily do the most damage right now. That's for Meredith and her crew. We just bring the thunder.
Aye, aye.
Make the noise. We'll hold for a beat, and then we'll charge in.
I will just pull out of my pack the wand of pyrotechnics.
Mm-hmm.
There it is.
My little flare gun.
Absolutely.
And just have that at the ready.
Luca raises his fist into the air. He looks over his shoulder to the emissaries from the crown, nods to them. Everybody roll initiative.
Hey!
That die went flying so far. 19.
How many initiatives you rolling, Chase?
A couple.
100. Couple hundred.
That was a 21 for me and a 17 for Crunchwrap.
Okay. Anybody else get above a 20?
No.
Okay.
Negative.
Okay, then at this stage of combat, Arabin is going first. We've got Crunchwrap at a 17. Anybody else beat a 17?
Harper has a 19.
Okay. 10 and up, 5 and up.
Oh, no.
Hey, Cecil?
Yeah.
When are you going?
3, because Cecil can do a lot of things, but moving quickly or... initiative and armor class are not high numbers.
It's not as much of a run as it is a firm march out of the forest as all of these Viridian cloaks appear on this snow-white backdrop. The entire contingent of the undersigned seems to swivel on a dime and look at you. They are taken aback. They are still going to attack, but they will be doing so this round at disadvantage. You will each be taking 2 attacks as a volley of this cursed fire is launched out at you.
This will go well.
Cecil, that is going to be a 13 against you.
Oh, you know that hits.
Okay. That is also going to be a 14, so that'll also hit.
Sure will.
Let's go. Hold on. DM just dropped his dice, so...
We're safe.
Luck's not going that good.
Guys, he can't kill us with that dice.
I have more dice.
So the long game is to like teach Kai to go steal the dice from Chase, right? Like when Chase isn't looking.
For sure.
Yeah.
Teach the baby. It's like, all right, go find daddy's hot dice. And
yeah. Which one are those? You'll know.
You'll know.
No, you'll hide them. You do not swallow them.
Okay, Harper, 16.
Negative.
That's got to be nice.
Worse. Arabin. 14?
Negative.
18.
That hits.
Okay.
That hits something different.
All right.
In fairness, does Ignis get attacked as well?
Thank you very much. He does. However, I don't believe a 10 or an 11 will do it for you, for him.
No, that will not hit Ignis.
Okay. Cecil, total damage is going to be 12 fire damage on you. That is with Sweet. That is both attacks.
I'm going to go ahead and roll both of my reduction dice.
Oh, sure.
12.
Hey! Oh.
Well, there you go.
7 and a 5. So, cool. I expend those. The fire bounces off of a chromatic shield.
Mm-hmm.
Tick, tick, ticking away. It kind of pops in the sundial number scatter to the wind. And Cecil is okay for right now, which Excellent. Is good.
And Arabin, I rolled max damage on your one. That is going to be 14 on you.
Ouch.
That is fire damage. So if you have any resistances or anything like that.
Not to fire.
Okay. And in that moment, as all of that volley of fire, you all can see over top of the cliff ropes fly out. And the rest of your crew enters the fray behind enemy lines.
Harper, are you mounted on top of Ignis?
Yes. Yes.
Hey, how big is Ignis?
He is size medium.
So I can't grab a lift?
Probably not.
No.
Okay. I mean, it'd be the equivalent of Arabin carrying you. Like,
sure, it's possible.
But it's not really like a mounted combat situation.
Sure. Yeah, it works because you are, but we.
I am a small-sized creature, so I can ride a medium creature just fine.
I just imagine Arabin carrying Cecil through the field. Like in Jabu Jabu's belly. And I just throw him.
Stands on a switch.
Gets irate when you leave him behind.
Luca, having walked out, points forward and bellows and takes his sword out and charges. It's been a while since you've all really seen Luca fight, and it is something to behold. He charges forward with all of the leadership that the Outriders can muster, and you charge on in. Arabin, you are up first.
Okay. So we want to make a lot of noise, right?
That's my plan.
All right. How far away are these things?
As you begin to charge in, there is a small wave of some of the weaker ones that you fought earlier in the day. There's about four within kind of immediate range of being able to reach.
Arabin is going to run up to one of them. He is going to put his hands up and he's going to yell, "Fulgur!" And that he's casting Thunderclap.
Okay.
Ooh.
So what that does is that I create a burst of thunderous sound that can be heard up to 100 feet away.
Ooh.
And any creature within 5 feet of me must make a constitution saving throw.
Okay. Since you're kind of running ahead first, I won't have any allies included, and I'll throw another one of the undersigned in that clump as well. That works. Okay. What's my save DC?
15.
One saves, one doesn't.
Okay. I believe only the one who fails takes damage.
Okay.
And that is 11 thunder damage.
Ooh, buddy.
It was mostly just to make some noise.
Absolutely. Yeah, it does not look good. It looks pretty dazed, but you're definitely grabbed a whole bunch of attention right there. Absolutely. Right. That takes us to the 20 mark, and that is the Outriders up top. We're going to go ahead and roll to see how they're holding up. Rolling high means they eliminate some of the background line, so you will take fewer ranged attacks. Low rolls on this part means the undersigned will be pushing back, and you will potentially lose some of your crew.
Copy that. Fuck.
Yep.
That is a 10. They are
right down the middle.
Yep. Nobody nobody is dying, but nobody's winning either.
Yeah. Nobody's dying, which means nobody's dying.
They're not dead.
Harper, you're up.
Harper is going to look for the sort of largest sort of singular grouping of them. This doesn't do any damage, but is going to level that wand of pyrotechnics at them and say, "Hey, you undersigned assholes, can I get your initials on this?" And I will fire off the wand of pyrotechnics, which all it does is create a sparkling, brilliant light forward, which is Viridian green.
Naturally.
And it creates a thunder crack, a crackling noise that can be heard up to 300 feet away.
Excellent.
So it is a burst of bright light that I fire off, and then I'm charging in with Ignis as well, and I'm going to use my bonus action to have him make an attack against the sorriest undersigned that he can get in front of.
Okay, cool. Yeah, you absolutely, you continue to draw attention towards the front. The next Outrider crew roll will be at advantage.
Oh, yeah.
And so, yeah, go ahead and roll to attack with Iggy.
That is a 25.
Ooh. 25. Okay.
Yeah. Good boy, Iggy.
And that is 7 points of force damage.
Okay. Are you attacking the same one as Arabin, or are you going for a fresh one?
I'll go for a freshie.
Okay, cool.
And then, I don't... Ignis has 40 feet of movement. I would like to have him charge in and then wind back and get, like, kind of... loop back, trying to get back toward the Outrider crew.
For sure.
I don't know if I get hit with an opportunity attack or not, but
yeah, you're gonna get dinged there. That's fine. So let's go ahead here.
And then, are they gonna attack me or Ignis? Just for specificity,
Ignis is the one moving. They're going after Ignis.
Sounds good.
That is going to be a 16 to hit Ignis.
That will hit.
Yeah, I had a feeling it might. That is gonna be. That's only gonna be 3 slashing damage.
Copy that. He takes it. And I wheel back to kind of just like start to beginning to fade back into the Outrider line.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. That
I'm
is
just trying to skirmish. I'm just trying to keep them engaged, keep them occupied.
Absolutely.
Keep them coming after us.
That's going to take us to Crunchwrap.
Arabin goes, "Finish him off, Crunchwrap."
Mm-hmm.
And Crunchwrap is going to constrict the one that Arabin attacked.
Excellent.
So that is going to be a 22 to hit.
Oh, yeah, roll damage.
Ooh, that is going to be a hefty 18 damage.
Jesus.
Pops him.
My boy loves to pop enemies.
Crunchwrap gets around it, and you just hear a humanoid sickening crack as Crunchwrap does his work. That is going to take us to the enemy's turns. All of you, including Crunchwrap, are going to be getting one round of ranged attacks on you as some of the beefier guys are getting in range to be in melee with you as well. This is going to be straight rolls. We'll go ahead. Cecil, we'll start with you.
Cool.
That is going to be a 23 to hit?
Yes.
Yeah, rolled 19 there.
Sure does. For reference, Cecil is trying to stick close to Luca.
Sure. Absolutely.
And is definitely, like, ready to charge in.
Absolutely.
Going to run right into this fray.
Cecil, that's going to be 9 damage on you.
Sweet. This is going to go so well.
Harper and Ignis. That is a natural 1 and a natural 2, so not going to do anything there.
Team Tin Can is doing good.
Arabin and Crunchwrap. Natural 1 on the other die this time. That's going to be Arabin's and Crunchwrap. That is going to be a 15.
That would miss me, but it would hit Crunchwrap.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, that's on. That one was on Crunchwrap.
Okay, yeah, that hits.
Okay, that is going to be 9 damage.
Okay.
And that takes us to the underlings, who right now, Arabin, you're the only one that's like actually in melee with them. So they're going to be coming after you.
Okay.
And they all turn in unison. They grab their blades and they run their hands across it. And they all ignite in fire.
Yee.
Nice.
As they use their ability, Blood and Blaze.
Oh.
Good. This is...
Okay, but that's pretty metal.
Yeah.
Right? Okay, first two attacks, Arabin. Wow, you guys are lucky I lost that first die. Okay, that's going to be a 6 and a 7.
Miss.
And second two attacks are a 10 and a 17.
The 17 hits.
Okay, there we go. All right, so this is going to be up to a 3d6 roll now with that fire damage on there. That is going to be 3 slashing damage and 6 fire damage.
Okay. Arabin gets hit with the fire. The fire gets sucked into the amulet. Arabin sticks out his hand, snaps back. Hellish Rebuke.
Excellent. That is a dex saving throw from me. Ooh, I think that actually might pass. 19.
Okay, so then that's half of the damage.
Sounds right.
So then that's 10 fire damage.
Cool. Doesn't look good. That is going to take us to Luca.
Come on, Luca.
How's everybody looking?
Fine.
Fine.
Fresh to death.
Little over half.
Okay.
Erwin's taking the most heat for sure.
Luca is going to wade in next to you, Arabin. He looks at you, seeing that you've taken your licks, claps you on the back, and uses Lay on Hands as a bonus action.
He's a paladin?
Of course.
Of course he is.
Let's go, Luca! I just thought he was a cool fighter.
Nah, if he was anything but a paladin, I'd have had words.
He is the mass charter. And he jarts for God.
His oath of the jart.
No. Oath of the Outrider.
Fuck yes.
Arabin, go ahead and take 10 back.
Ooh.
He can only do that so often. It's Lay on Hands. It's not endless, but it's helpful.
Let's go, High Cap.
And he is going to attack. Both are going to hit. And... Arabin, the one that you just rebuked, he finishes off.
Nice.
Hell yeah.
Cecil, we're up to you.
I'm very excited for this. Cecil takes off running behind Luca.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to keep pace as best as they can. And it's going to end up in melee range.
Sure.
I'm going to put myself so I can maybe hopefully flank one of them with Luca or Arabin that are all right there.
Mm-hmm.
And the clocks spin around Cecil's hands and they start to turn inky black.
Mm-hmm.
And they start to drip unholy energy.
Cool, cool, cool.
As Cecil starts to unearth and recall some of the forgotten magics that they've lost to the desk.
Now that's what I'm talking about.
And just gives Luca a look of like, it's been a minute.
Mm-hmm.
I need to make a melee spell attack against an underling.
Okay, do it.
Do I have advantage?
Can
I position myself to get advantage or no?
Yes.
Okay. Very excited. All right. That is a natural 20.
Cool.
Fuck.
So that... I don't have enough dice. That's great. That is going to be 6d6. Oh, my dude. My guy. That is going to be 26 points of necrotic damage. So I cast Vampiric Touch.
You see whatever fiendish magic that was supporting this thing is standing there for a moment after you have destroyed this thing. There was a part of me that did want to say, it's actually immune to necrotic damage, but that was just me being tired and a little bit of a troll in this moment. I didn't do that. I did want to let that thought out there, though. But yeah, no,
that.
you almost doubled this thing's HP and damage that you just did there.
Wow. Wow.
And as the form, as the form is just left there, the life force gets sucked into me and I heal for half.
Hell yeah.
This spell is concentration. I could do it every round.
Oh, that's hell handy. Yeah.
Cecil used Giga Drain.
I
sure did.
I can do this all day. Cool. Yeah, you. I'll say you went for the fresh one on that one, and
sounds good.
It is gone. At this point, you all hear a unearthly growl coming from the cave in from one of the like largest cave on the ground floor, as you see a massive undersigned charging out, and before it are more of the beefier ones, not as beefy as this big guy, but there are three more formidable opponents than the ones some you have like, been fighting,
some like mid-tier dudes.
Exactly. Yeah,
but I don't want to fight a tank.
The undersigned line holders, as I have them.
Oh.
And the undersigned leader is behind them, growling. If anybody would like to use their bonus action on their round to make an insight check at disadvantage on the big guy, I would be happy to give you more information if that is something you were interested in. But as it is, we are back to... that is the leader's turn, is him joining the fray. He will be in melee with you all next round. That's going to take us back up to Erebin.
Oh, okay.
Erebin, there is one more undersigned underling in your immediate vicinity. There are, like I said, the line holders are about to enter melee.
Okay. So I'm going to attack the last underling.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to be a 17 to hit.
Cool. That hits.
10 damage.
Dead.
Great. I am going to use my movement to sort of squad back or wherever Luca and Harper are.
Luca's right next to you.
Okay. Yeah, we're just going to like hold the line.
And just wait for this wave to hit you?
I think so.
Perfect.
Can I jump in real quick with one mechanical thing? Bonus action, I'm going to convert a spell slot to two sorcery points on that last turn.
Absolutely. That's fine. Okay. I'm going to roll for the Outrider Strike Force.
They have advantage per your...
Correct. Thank you for reminding me.
Yep.
Hey, you found that good die yet?
Didn't need to. Nat 20 for you guys.
Woo! Yes! Let's go, Meredith!
You hear Meredith scream at the top of her lungs as she launches one of the line holders off of the highest part of the cliff, and he falls far.
Meredith, just this has sparted him.
Correct. You will all be taking, what is it, this round, actually going forward, none of the pets will be taking ranged attacks.
Okay. Nice.
As they are now focusing more on what is clearly the actual threat to them, which is that behind the line strike force. Harper, you're up.
Okay. There's a really big dude.
Big dude.
Does it seem like the vibe from the Outriders is we're lining up to meet a charge, or do we need to like engage them so they don't go running back toward Meredith's crew?
You are. This thing is moving towards you. You're meeting a charge.
Then, yeah, I will wheel Ignis around and post up with the line. I really don't have any, like, ranged attack sort of things.
Sure.
So I'm going to hold Green Flame Blade.
Okay.
For whoever gets into range of me.
Sure.
And then bonus action... Ignis is going to take the dodge action.
Okay, cool.
So any attacks that come at Ignis will be at disadvantage.
Love it.
But I will wheel back around to like, you know, between like Cecil and Luca or whoever. I'll find my spot in the line.
Sure.
And I'll just be like, that guy's real big. He's real big, like unnaturally big. I don't like him. And I'll just set my spear and as Meredith taught me, and brace for the charge.
Absolutely. That is going to take us to Crunchwrap. What's Crunchy doing?
I'm going to have Crunchwrap go and constrict one of the beefier henchmen that's closest.
Yeah.
Ooh, that is a nat 20.
Nice.
Nice.
Okay, that will hit.
So that is 23 damage.
A hit. Palpable hit.
And he is restrained.
Excellent.
The giant one?
No. No,
this is one of the henchmen.
One of the smaller ones. Okay.
Also, I forgot on my turn, I did slay a humanoid creature. Mm-hmm. So that should give me a cursed specter of it.
You do have some of those already going. Did you let those go from the earlier fight?
Oh, did I already have a cursed specter?
I think you did.
Yes, you did. You did. You had one.
Then it should have had its own initiative and been in this.
Gotcha.
Well, it's there now.
Okay.
Do you want me to roll?
We'll say you've got it now because we forgot about it.
Okay. It needs to have an initiative.
Okay. Go ahead and roll for it then as you create your cursed specter out of this guy.
12.
12. Actually, perfect. So that is.
Can you have multiple?
No, it's just one at a time.
With Crunchwrap's turn ending, it is now the Cursed Spectre's turn.
So it is going to go up to the one that Crunchwrap is constricting.
Okay.
And it is going to use Life Drain.
Nice.
Just a good, wholesome crew we have here with us.
Uh-huh. Sure, for sure.
So that's a 16 to hit.
That hits.
Okay. 14 necrotic damage.
Okay.
Jeez.
And it has to succeed a 10 constitution saving throw.
Okay. Nat 1.
Okay, so its hit point maximum is reduced by an amount equal to the damage taken.
Okay. Excellent. Yeah, it takes all of that.
So yeah, Haunter just goes up and dementors this dude that is
absolutely
wrapped by a snake.
Sure does.
Wrapped up by Arbok.
This is VGC, it's doubles.
Fucking Team Rocket out over here.
Now it is time for the ranged attack. So all three of you and Luca, I keep forgetting Luca, are all going to be taking a round of ranged attacks.
For sure, for sure, for sure.
Luca doesn't need to take attacks. That's
fine. Oh, no. Luca's taking attack. Luca has AC and HP, and if things get Terry up there, so does Meredith.
Yeah.
Cecil, that is going to be a...
Yeah, that hits.
I was going to say, it's a 12.
Yeah, that hits.
Harper, that's a nat 20.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ain't got nothing against that.
Okay. Arabin, that is going to be an 11, which I don't think does it.
Nope.
And Luca, that's an 8, which won't do it. So let me take a look here.
How close are these things close that are attacking us? Are they really far away?
They're about 60 feet out. They are up on the cliffs. Your ranged attacks are coming in from up there.
Is it about 60 feet or is it 60
It's a little further than 60 feet.
Okay, cool.
It's a little further. Unless you want to push back up, push past the line next round. If you want to do that.
Nope. Okay.
I'm good, dog. Right. It's okay.
Okay.
I got the most hit points out of any of us. It's okay.
Ryan, that is going to be a 9. I keep rolling 7s on this guy.
Okay, great. Just bouncing all over with my health today. It's great.
That is going to be a 23, Harper.
Okay.
It's a d12 and I crit. And I rolled a 12 and a 9 plus 2.
Yeah.
Ow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. These things don't have the most health in the world, but they all hit like a fucking Mack truck.
No, that's the best way to play minions. Hey. Like,
yeah.
That's the best way to play D&D in general.
Point.
That's my secret. They're all glass cannons.
Fire sale on glass cannons out here. Okay. And that is going to take us to the line holders that are in melee with you. First attack is going to be on Crunchwrap because it is constricting one of them.
No, my boy.
Disadvantage.
Not a huge difference, but might be the difference there. That is going to, well, probably not. That's going to be a 16 that, for the first attack.
That hits.
Damn.
Second attack is going to be a 15.
That also hits.
Okay.
Damn.
That is...
not the snack.
A total of 18 damage for Crunchwrap.
My boy. My beautiful boy.
Father, help.
Second round of these attacks is going to be going for Luca.
Oh, shit. Chase, what type of damage was that damage that hit me?
Fire.
Can I retroactively do a thing?
What thing?
A reaction cast absorb elements.
This one time I will let you do that. Remember it in the future. I'm going to be a hard ass going
forward. Yes, I don't know if the damage was specified.
I don't think it was. So yeah, you're good. Yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I appreciate it. So I will, that gives me resistance to that attack.
Okay.
So I will take half of that back.
Yes.
Okay. I'll take 11 back.
Sounds good.
Thank you. I love you.
Love you too. Okay. That is going to be on Luca. That is going to be a miss and a hit. That hit is going to be fucking nothing. Get it together, team. 6 slashing damage. Why bother? And the third one is, I'm going to go ahead and say, because both Arabin and Cecil, well, no, Arabin, you're really the one that's actually in like melee with them. So that is going to be one or a round of attacks on you. 15 and a 10.
Miss.
Nice. What's your AC? 16?
Yes.
This guy rolls in and he is spooky. The two that are not restrained are going to cast Blood and Blaze and their swords ignite.
Yeah.
Love that.
But that is all of the enemy's turns because you've killed all the underlings.
Nice.
That is going to take us to Luca's turn. He is going to make two attacks on the one that got him. Because it's been a while since he's been stabbed, and he's not a fan. And unfortunately, he's showing his age. So he goes into attack, and he is deflected at both points. And that is going to take us down to Cecil.
All right. We said the guys on the ridge were more than 60 feet, right?
Correct.
How about the big guy?
Big guy? He will be in melee next round, so he's 30 feet out.
Okay, so Cecil kind of spins around and puts Luca between them and the oncoming horde and says, well, I hope this works. I'm going to spend for quicken spell and then I have to do two things in a specific order. I need this big dude to make an intelligence saving throw.
Okay, he is better at that than his companions, but it is still not a great roll for him.
Cool. Love that.
That is going to be a 13.
Fail. He takes 4 points of psychic damage.
Okay.
As I cast Mind Sliver.
I figured it was going to be a Mind Sliver.
And he has to subtract a d4 from his next save.
Nice.
Which he's about to make.
Okay.
And then Cecil's hands slam together. And very quickly, a bolt of green sick energy shoots out at that guy. Make my attack 24 to hit.
24 will hit, yes.
Okay, and then he needs to make a con save with a negative d4.
That's what I just rolled right there. So I rolled a 1 on the d4, and that's a con save, you said?
Yes.
Actually pretty good at that. Normally gets a plus 4 to that, so that takes it down to a plus 3, so that is an 18.
Ooh. Damn it. All right, it was worth a shot.
Yep, absolutely. Yep.
Still takes 18 points of poison damage.
Okay.
He just saves against being poisoned.
Sure.
Which would have been real useful.
Yeah.
But here we are. And that's Cecil's turn.
That's okay. I've got a cockamamie idea.
That's what we trade in here. That is going to take us back to the top of the round as the undersigned leader lumbers into melee. There are effectively 4 targets counting Luca. I'm going to, well, no, 3 targets because Cecil is behind Luca specifically. So I am going to roll this d4 and we're going to see who he goes for. Erebin. This massive form rushes up and is going to attack twice. Okay. First attack is going to be a 12. Second attack is a 19.
Erebin's arms are going to cross in front of him as he says, "Protego." And that is shield.
Absolutely. Yes. Nice. This, the undersigned leader's bitter blade bounces off of your shield. He is going to snarl in the direction of the one that is currently being crunch-wrapped and use his bonus action, Commander's Fire. It is going to heal 1d6.
Rude.
Don't do enough very rude. Hey, look, it's a d6. It's not a lot.
It's still rude.
Might be enough, though. Cool. That is going to take us to Erebin.
Okay, am I in range of the one that is currently being crunched and wrapped?
Yes.
Okay, so I'm going to attack him.
Okay.
And it's at advantage since he's being restrained. So that is a dirty 20.
Okay, that'll hit.
And that is going to be 9 damage.
Dead.
Great. Ooh. Am I in melee range of another one?
You are in melee range with the leader. You would have to leave the immediate range. You will take an op attack if you wanted to attack one of the other undersigned.
I'll just take a swing at the leader then.
Cool.
And that is a 17 to hit.
That is insufficient.
Yikes. This is not a little.
You only missed it by 1. Cool. Anything else?
I think that's it.
Now time for our friends up on the cliff. I have rolled a 7.
Oof. That seems right.
The fighting forces up there are beginning to take some hits as the undersigned recover from their bout of surprise. Seeing their leader on the field, mindless though they are filled with something akin to morale as they begin to push back against the attackers. Meredith is up there and shouting and commanding and doing her damnedest in her position, but it's a lot. It's a lot, and there's a lot of them and not a lot of outriders. Harper, you're up.
So, big guys on Erebin.
Mm-hmm.
Where did his posse of 3 scatter off to?
The one is dead. That's the one that
got crunch-wrapped.
There is another that is tangling with Luca. Another one that is kind of getting up closer to your grill.
Okay. I'm going to, with 25 feet of movement, can I get in melee with the big guy?
Yeah. Yeah, you can skirt around.
I'm going to dismount Ignis. So what happened with that absorb elements is I saw that fire coming in.
Mm-hmm.
Harper put her shield up, and as the fire was washing over her, she took out a little piece of chalk and inscribed some runes on the back of the shield, which then started to heat up and absorb the fire.
Cool.
And then I pull out this little, magical, bundle of wires, essentially, a magical conduit that I literally plug into my spear, and that energy siphons off into my spear instead.
Cool.
Because absorb elements enhances your next melee attack with the elemental energy.
Sure does, yes.
Hell yeah.
So I'm like, Ignis, keep that guy off me, and I'm going to jump off of him and go charge and back up Erebin.
Okay,
cool. And I'm going to make 2 attacks against that fool.
Cool. Do it.
First attack. That's really good. Jesus, that's a 26.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. So this gets an additional d6 fire damage
because
of absorb elements.
Okay.
So we're looking at 9 slashing, 6 fire.
Okay.
So 15.
It is actually resistant to fire, so down to 3.
Cool.
So
cool.
You said 15, so 12.
12. And then second attack with the broad spear. That's also going to hit at a 23, I think.
Cool.
And that is 8 slashing damage.
Awesome.
That is a magical weapon, if that matters at all.
Okay, you're good.
Bonus action, Ignis is going to go charging after that mid goon.
Yep.
And make a snap attack.
Okay.
On the table, Halfill. He's going to probably hit for a 21.
Yeah, that'll hit.
Oh nice. My god, I'm fucking dice.
That
is only 5 points of force damage.
Okay. Not
but
nothing,
he is engaging that dude, and I'm cutting up big guy's ankles with my spear.
Okay. All right.
That is my turn.
Arabin, it is the Crunchwrap Creepy Spectre a turn.
They attack at different times.
It is Crunchwrap and then Creepy Spectre.
Oh, okay. I didn't know they were right next to each other.
Yes, they are. They are one right after the other.
That's handy.
How big is the big guy?
We're talking like 8 feet.
Okay, so
like,
can Crunchwrap still constrict him?
Yes, because that's like still has legs. Like, still can't get around if his legs are all, you know, tied up.
Okay. So Crunchwrap is going to constrict the big guy.
Okay. Roll to constrict.
Ooh, that's going to be a 26 to hit.
Yeah, yes. That'll do it.
Yes.
See, this is why the 18 was fine. I can throw an 18 at you guys.
Oh, sorry, 25.
Okay.
So that's 17 damage.
Cool.
And he is restrained. And if he kills my boy, I will be very sad.
You said 17 points of damage?
Yes.
Cool.
And then Spooky Boy is going to go after the goon that Ignis attacked.
Yes.
And that is going to be 22 to hit.
Yeah, that'll do it.
And that is 10 necrotic damage. And he has to make a constitution save.
Didn't like that.
It'd be weird if he did.
Oh, I don't run that kind of game.
Not today.
Not today. Not today. That's going to be a 10.
That's for the Twitch channel.
That's what's behind the paywall.
What was that save?
10.
Okay, so that meets it. So a success.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. So his hit point maximum does not decrease.
Cool. Awesome. That is going to take us to... That's the both of them. It's the line holders. So each of you is going to receive one ranged attack.
Bring it. Yeah, that hits. Oh, wait, hold on.
I have rolled many a nat one tonight. Give me a second. Cecil, that is going to be a 12, so that will hit.
Sure will.
Called it.
Harper, that is a 13.
Miss.
Arabin, a 19.
My dark shield blocks it.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Yes, it does.
Awesome.
And Luca, nat 20.
Spooky shield. Oh.
Let's take a look here.
This wouldn't happen to be the one that Ignis is in melee with, is it?
No, these are coming from up on the cliff.
Oh, those are those guys.
Yeah.
I thought the line holders were on the ground.
It's the same stats for both.
Heard.
Because the ground ones do have a ranged attack. They're just in melee with you guys.
Yes, Chef.
Cecil, that is going to be 8 damage on you.
Yep, that seems right.
Luca takes a nasty hit.
An arrow to the knee.
Fire to the face.
That seems a bit worse.
Just a hair. Just a hair. That is going to take us to the line holders in melee. So the one that is being that is in a double battle against his will is going to.
Don't you hate being forced into a double battle? You lock eyes with the wrong person, and then there's two of them.
And you've got the wrong Pokemon in the second slot.
Exactly. You are not prepared
right.
for this.
Like, you're trying to do some swap training. It's not happening.
Yeah.
This is not the vibe.
It's going to go after the creepy ghost.
My boy.
First attack is going to be a 24.
Yeah, that hits.
I thought it might. Be weird if it didn't. Okay, let's take a look here.
Be really weird if it didn't.
First attack is going to be 12 damage.
Okay.
Second attack is a nat 20.
Oh.
I am rolling hot on this one die tonight.
Is this nat 20 going to take out your ghost?
Oh, Justin? Absolutely.
So any damage would at this point?
Not any damage, but more than a slight breeze.
Silvery barbs.
Mm.
Roll again at disadvantage. Poor favor.
I mean, if we're going to lose anybody, the ghost is the best case scenario.
Ghost is already dead.
I got level one spell slots to burn, my dude.
Okay.
That is only going to be a 9.
That misses.
Cool. Woo! And then I give Harper advantage on their next attack.
Excellent.
Thank you.
Although, if she's attacking the big guy, he's already wrapped.
That's okay.
And then the second one is going to attack, the second surviving one is going to attack Luca.
Yeah, we gotta fix that.
We could really use an archfey right about now.
Allegedly. First attack is only an 11, that's not gonna do it. Second attack is a 20-something, which is, in fact, going to do it.
I don't care for that. I'm really trying to save my spell slots, but I think I might need to start burning some big guns.
That takes care of the line holders. Luca exhales, slaps himself in the chest, and drops a lay on hands real quick. Bounces himself back up by another 10 points.
That's fair. Can't heal somebody else if you're dead.
It's my favorite thing to do as a paladin.
Mm-hmm. And because he does that as a bonus action, he is going to attack.
Yo!
Let's go, Luca!
Hey, when you're designing your own subclass or subclass-like character, you get to do the things that you wish your class could just do. Like, lay on hands as a fucking bonus action.
There's a reason why I call it the player's handbook when I'm DMing, because them's the rules for players.
Yep.
Not for me, assholes.
Yeah, when you said as a bonus action, I was like, as a what now?
And in the turnabout, a fair play of all time, I have just nat 20'd against my own creatures.
Yes.
So that is going to be, and...
So it's you think it'd be appropriate for Luca to drop maybe a divine smite?
Oh, I'm thinking a smite is appropriate in this moment. He's got a
Luca
couple.
Luca fucking Sutton.
All right.
That's my high captain.
I literally don't have enough dice for this in this moment because all of my
because
I ran that RPG class and all of my dice have been scattered around my office in doing that. So I am going to roll
just pull a Ryan Albrecht and declare him dead.
Not quite.
Listen, it's a cool thing.
It is going to be
my dice don't matter. It's just gone.
Hi, we've had a lot of fun today. I'm Jackson Silver here to tell you you're no longer here.
When you've had a hard day of making intelligent saving throws against your will and a creepy tentacle thing tried to eat your brain, sometimes you just had enough and say, stop. Cease existence.
It doesn't do that, but it's damn close.
I can help with that.
Wait a second. It's dead. It is dead. I forgot that I made these things weak to radiant.
Yes!
Luca takes a nasty hit. Like, I will say straight up, Luca, before that lay on hands, was bloodied. Was not looking good. Slaps himself in the chest, remembers what he's fighting for, and calls down the glory and power of the Viridian Outriders and slashes into the line holder. And a brilliant burst of green Viridian light erupts from this thing's chest as it falls over dead.
Yes.
Cecil, you're up.
There's the big guy who's a little bit out, and Airman and Harper are there.
Yep.
And then there are the underlings left.
The underlings are dead. There are two line holders in line vicinity. Holders. One of them is being double teamed by Arabin's little buddies. and one of them is only one of them, because Luca just destroyed one. So yeah, there's just the one line holder left in melee with you all, and he is he's been hit pretty he's not bloody, but he's getting there.
Yeah, there's the guys on the walls. Yes, I can't really do anything about that right this second. Yeah,
I mean, here's the thing, like, you can move away towards the walls and start trying to support the strike force, but that will mean leaving this part of the battle behind.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm going to your guys go before that thing goes, right, Justin? So they'll take care of it.
It's technically it's Haunter and Ignis who are up against that one.
Oh, and Ignis. Yeah. Okay, so they'll take care of that. So I'm not going to worry about that. Okay. Cecil sees the carnage around them and the bodies, the undersign laying everywhere, and sensing the tide shifting and the need to take down the big one, Cecil is going to run into melee with the big guy.
Okay.
And the black dripping necrotic clocks around their hands spread out, and I'm going to melee attack.
Okay.
That is going to be a 25 to hit.
Yeah, so that'll do
plus,
it.
I get a plus 9 to this. So
okay, that'll do it.
Yeah.
Wow.
Because it's a spell attack. So.
Right. No, that makes sense.
All right. Not a crit, so just normal. So that's going to be... it's going to be 12 points of necrotic damage.
12 points of necrotic damage. Nice. Interesting. Okay.
And I heal that. I heal half of that. I heal 6. And in fairness, I took damage twice and have not made those concentration checks. So I'm just going to say that I burned 2 of the stole uses.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Okay.
Because I had the Mind Sharpener stole. So that there were 5, right?
4.
4. Okay, so I have 2 left, I'll say.
Cool.
Because I did not make those rolls. And that would have kept this thing active.
Yep.
So my movement and my action, because I don't have to cast another spell on that. Nope, that's it. That's my turn.
You have, with this round, bloodied this thing. That's the good news. The bad news is that it has an ability that triggers when you bloody it, which is unintentionally, but still comically, 69 HP.
Nice.
When the undersigned leader reaches 69 HP, it unleashes a roar. All undersigned in earshot take a full attack round as a reaction.
Oof.
So.
Yeah, that seems right.
Dag.
The good news is that you have done a lot of work clearing the field.
True.
You will all still be taking one ranged attack.
Yeah.
And there is sure going to will. Be an immediate roll for the Outriders up top at disadvantage.
Oh.
That's fair.
That is a natural 1.
No.
Okay.
So I am going to go ahead and roll on a nat 1. Meredith just takes damage.
That's fair.
Meredith takes a nasty hit up top as they begin to lose ground up there. Everybody on the ground. All right, so just going around my screen again. Cecil, that is going to hit.
Yep.
Rude, but acceptable.
Harper, that is not going to hit.
Uh-huh.
Listen, we all have our weak points.
Arabin, that's a dirty 20.
With the shield still.
Shield, I was going to say, shield is going to stop nice. That, which is fine.
Oof. How big is this damage number, Chase? We got to roll for Luca, too.
I do have to roll for Luca yet. Nope, not going to cut it.
Nice.
Ryan, is Cecil about to go nap?
Cecil has been healing themselves.
Yeah.
Vampirically.
Oh, yeah. I'm always worried about Cecil going night-night in a fight.
It's a fair thing
I've
to
been
be concerned
keeping an
about.
Eye on. They've been doing pretty good.
I did this on purpose.
Mm-hmm. That is going to be 8 damage for Cecil.
That seems right. Yep, yep, yep.
And,
that's not great. Yep. Concentration check. Pass.
Cool. And the It is a
it's the nice thing about you and I is we both have con proficiency for saving throws.
Sure do. It's kind of nice, not going to lie.
And this is a full attack round, so it is going to be two attacks on the... Actually, well, we'll see how this goes. First attack is going to be on the Cursed Spectre. 18 on the Spectre.
That hits.
We tried so hard to keep that boy alive.
Mm-hmm. Hey, you made it go another round because this is an attack that's not hitting one of you.
This is true.
15 damage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just barely the Spectre just bursts into a puff of smoke.
Excellent.
And a little text box appears at the bottom that says Haunter fainted.
Second attack is going to be on Ignis.
Yes.
That is going to be a 15 on Ignis.
That hits. His AC is 15.
Cool. That is going to be... I rolled basically max damage. 23.
Does Torkoal resist fire damage?
No. I will say that does Ignis have any resistance? Nope. Okay. So yeah, no. 23.
He's just a regular...
regular metal turtle.
He's up, but he's greasy.
Yeah. Just a keen shot from a flaming scimitar just plunges right into Ignis. And you, Harper, you can hear from the other side of the field just the gears grinding and churning on each other.
Mm-hmm.
It's a sound you haven't really heard since you were building him.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, basically in now a double turn, the leader is going to go, and then he will have his regular turn.
Fuck.
All right. So.
Wow.
Oh, he gets to command himself to go?
Yes. All undersigned.
He angy.
He at 69.
He's at disadvantage because he's restrained.
He is at disadvantage. That's why I got both.
Cool.
All right. Let's take a look here.
I'm just trying to make my pro bono rules lawyer inspiration, Abria Iyengar, proud of me.
Fair enough. Fair enough. So, in the name of honesty, Cecil, I know you are in melee. Is there anybody else in melee with the big Harper?
All the three PCs.
Okay, everybody's in melee. Okay.
Luca's the only one. Luca and Ignis are the only ones who aren't.
Fair enough. Okay. So, in Cecil, you are the one who hit him last. You are taking one of these.
Oh, for sure. I'd be surprised if it wasn't.
I'd be insulted.
I have rolled a double 19.
Yeah, just bring it. Just yeah. Bring it.
Oh, it's going to be brought.
Yep.
Snapperooskies.
Yeah, Cecil's going to go 9-9.
There's a chance. There's a chance.
You're telling me
he's
there's a chance.
He's been healing himself quite a bit.
Yeah.
18 on the first attack.
Cecil keeps their feet.
Second attack. This round is going to be on Crunchwrap because there is something around its feet, and that's annoying for anybody.
Yeah, no, my boy.
Fortunately, the thing on its feet, well, we'll see. 14.
That still hits.
Okay. 19 damage.
Okay.
Still up?
He's still kicking.
Okay. Cecil, you're taking another one.
Oh, I passed my first concentration check.
Thank you.
It's not going to matter.
It is at disadvantage, but I think a 12 is still going to hit you.
That hits.
Yeah.
I don't have any reactions.
Fortunately, I rolled like dog shit this time, comparatively at least. That's going to be 12 damage.
Cecil goes down.
Cecil, you see this massive blade come down and not cleave you, but hit you pretty hard as you skitter back and hit the dirt. And you are dazed in a way that you have not been dazed in really some time.
All right, let's see how this goes.
All right. And for its second attack, it is still surrounded by two other people trying to attack it, and it's got that ding on its feet. So I am going to roll a d4 to see where it goes. Harper.
Okay.
It's not going to cut it. 11?
No.
Cool. It is going to use its commander's fire to heal the one that is still up 2 HP.
I...
It's It's a bonus action. I'm not going to give it too much. Arabin, you're up.
Okay, so I am technically out of spell slots, but yep. I remembered with Shadow Touch, I can cast this without expending a spell slot.
Oh, nice.
Yes.
So Arabin's eyes are going to glow black, not red. Good. And he is going to go, Noxa, and touch the big guy. Black veins go from his eyes down his face, down through his arms, and out through his hands into the big guy as he casts Inflict Wounds.
Go for
it. Nice.
And this is at advantage. Okay. So my first roll was a 2. My okay. second roll is a nat 20.
Oh,
there we
yes.
go.
Roll them bones.
Okay.
Double so, dice.
Thank the entity.
Praise be.
Thank your local entity today.
So that's going to be 6d10.
Yeah. Yeah, it sure will.
That's how that works.
All right.
So that is going to be 36 necrotic damage.
Oh, ooh. Buddy.
And with my bonus action, I'm going to say, Vivios. Crunchwrap returns to a staff.
Mm.
So big guy is no longer restrained, but Crunchwrap needed a rest.
Yes.
Yeah.
Good call. Good
bum, bum, call. Bum, bum.
And that is your turn. Now for the Outriders up top.
Come on, gang.
I feel a pit deep in my soul.
11. Things are back to neutral.
Okay.
All right.
Jesus Christ.
Harper, you're up.
I know that a lot of that up fighting is happening like in and out of the caves.
Yeah.
Do we realistically on the ground have any indication of how well or badly it's going up there?
Not without specifically looking for it. You are thoroughly embroiled with your own fight. You
copy that.
Just typically just trust what's going on.
Understood. Can I cast Sanctuary on an unconscious creature? It just says
yeah. oh.
a creature within range.
Yeah, I don't see why not. Go for it.
Then as my bonus action, I'm going to pull out my little scintillating shield gizmo
mm-hmm.
and plop that right down in front of Cecil.
Smart.
So anyone who tries to attack Cecil has to make a wisdom saving throw, and on a fail, they lose the attack. Or they have to target someone else.
Okay.
That's my bonus action.
You can do that to a corpse?
Well, you're not dead. You're just making
saves.
You're
not a corpse yet. You're still a creature.
Okay, that's fair.
You ward a creature within range.
All right, sweet.
Until the spell ends, any creature who targets the warded creature with an attack or a harmful spell.
Sounds good.
It doesn't indicate consciousness.
Correct.
Love it.
Okay. Bad news, that means Ignis can't attack this round. Because that's my bonus, but I can't. Fuck. I'm just gonna have to go all in on attacks against.
Yep.
The
big guy.
Up against Big Goonus. Yeah. Two attacks.
Cool. Do it.
One will just barely hit with an 18.
Okay.
The second one is a miss at a 12.
Yeah, not going to do it. Go ahead and roll damage.
Look, if you can do 33 damage with one attack.
I rolled a 1.
Welp.
So that's 6 points of damage. The good news is that even though I can't command Ignis, even on his turn, he can take the dodge action for himself.
Bet.
Nice.
Which means attacks against him will be at disadvantage.
Love it.
So that's me. That's Ignis. Cecil okay. has Scintillating Shield.
Okay, that is going to take us to Crunchwrap. Not Crunchwrap, I'm sorry. Oh, no, those are both gone. So
yep, they're both gone.
Rip the Pokemon.
Yep. And that is going to take us to the line holders.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah, they're going to attack Ignis, because he's still there.
Disadvantage, please.
Yep. First attack is a 9.
Miss.
Son of a bitch. Second attack, also a 9. I have rolled 3s on the low both times.
Miss.
Oh.
It is a night for the 1 in 400 odds where I am rolling the same thing on both die. Or same, roll the same thing twice.
The fear is real, listeners. The fear is real.
Mm-hmm. I'm shaking. My hands are shaking.
I'm so stressed.
I can literally do nothing.
Luca strides forward, sees Cecil go down, rushes forward, and does the fastest of taps on your chest. Cecil, you go up by 5, and you are stable.
Ow. Oh, what I missed.
Stay down. Stay down.
What did I miss? And
he like literally rushes forward and does like almost a flip, basically like touches your chest and then completes a full 360 degree spin and continues and charges towards the big guy.
Luca is an anime character.
Yeah, he's the mass jarter.
Yeah.
And is going to attack twice. Yeah.
Ryan, just as a reminder for you, Sanctuary will end if you make an attack or cast a spell that affects an enemy.
Interesting.
Just so you're aware.
Oh.
Interesting. And actually,
I got out of order on myself there. You are all going to be taking a round of the ranged attacks, except for Cecil, who is downed and has the scintillating shield.
Cool.
So, Harper, no.
Yay.
Arabin, nat 1. And Luca. Jesus Christ. Okay. No, everything's fine. I wasted everyone's time. Congratulations.
Eat shit, idiots.
And now Luca is going to take his 2 attacks against the big guy.
Sip on grease, fuckwads.
Nice. I am stretching the depths of credulity with the number of natural 20s I have rolled this evening.
You've rolled so many.
It is fucking stupid.
For both sides.
I need to, like, I'm gonna have to start lying about getting them.
Chase, is the Ides of March your, like, cosmic alignment day?
Am I cosmically linked to Brutus or something?
You got Big Caesar energy.
No, not Big Caesar. I got the other guys.
Big Brute.
The Big Knife Guy energy.
Hey, yo, knife guy.
Fuck him up.
That is going to be another burst of green light erupts out of Luca's sword as he brings it down into the leader. This thing is near death. Okay. But certainly still up. Cecil, you are alive at 5 HP on the ground underneath a scintillating shield.
Cecil rolls over onto their stomach and kind of quickly takes the lay of the land, sees several of their friends fighting this big giant thing, and then there's one more line holder and then the stuff up on the ridge.
Correct.
It has to be an offensive spell to break sanctuary, correct?
It says, casts a spell that affects an enemy or deals damage to another creature.
Mm-hmm.
Last time we ruled that silvery barbs interrupted it because it affected a creature.
It does. So on the ground, Cecil, looking the most beat to shit that they have in a very long time, just traces a clock face just in the dirt, a circle over and over repeatedly, over and over and over, and quicker and quicker and quicker and quicker, and shoots it out. I cast haste on Luca.
Oh.
Okay. Okay.
And does their best to, like, do this subtly and quietly, stays prone under the shield, and we're going to see how this goes.
Cool.
AC up by 2, advantage on dex saves, and an additional action each turn.
Excellent. Okay. That is good to know, because it is now the boss's turn, and it is going to be attacking Arabin as well as Luca. So, first attack on Arabin, 25.
That hits.
Thought it might. 17 damage on you.
Ooh, a palpable hit. And what kind of damage is it?
It is slashing damage. And that is going to be a miss on Luca, specifically because of the haste.
Let's go.
Hell yeah.
It has a +9. I rolled an 8.
Yes.
Can I sprinkle in a little flavor of when Arabin got hit?
Oh, please.
Since this did take him to half, he got slashed across the face and his face started to bleed.
Mm-hmm.
And the amulet glows bright red at the sight of its own blood.
Excellent. And then it uses its bonus action for Commander's Fire.
Frick.
The remaining line holder gains 6 HP.
Piece of shit.
And that is going to be its turn. Arabin, you're up.
Okay. So Arabin is going to attack the big guy.
Okay.
So that's going to be a 26 to hit.
Yeah, that'll do it.
Oh, could I? Okay, I'm not going to do that right now. I'm gonna take the attack since this guy's almost down.
Yeah.
So that is going to be 10 damage.
Dead.
Hell yeah.
I don't want to do this.
So the amulet glows bright red as it hits him. Arabin's eyes glow. And he just jumps at the creature, stabbing his blade through its heart.
Excellent. The armor, which was basically stretched to bursting against this thing, splits underneath your blade. And you ride this thing backwards and down to the ground as the armor just seems to undo itself around the creature. Real quick, because you are right there, roll me perception at advantage.
16.
As you write it down, you realize this thing is dead. You look down and you see something you have never seen with an undersigned before. There is a metal tag, like, embedded. It's like, it looks like a dog tag or something like that, embedded into its chest.
Interesting.
Doesn't look intentional. Like, it looks like this thing was causing the undersigned, like, active pain.
Okay.
And that is what you see in this moment as we move down the list.
Wait.
Mm-hmm.
There's still one up, right?
Yeah.
Yes, there is.
I have a second attack.
Oh, yeah, go for it.
So, when Arabin rides this thing down to the ground, mm-hmm. his head snaps up to look at the other one, runs up. As he's running towards it, he is going to use his Hexblade Curse on it.
Cool. Do it.
And he's going to use his attack.
Mm-hmm.
And that is going to be a 23 to hit.
Okay.
Jesus.
Yeah, that'll hit.
Nice.
Roll damage.
And that is going to be 13 damage.
Cool.
The reason why I questioned on the first one is because when I cast Hexblade's Curse on a creature, mm-hmm. a crit is on a 19 or 20.
Good
and
call.
On the big guy, I rolled a 19.
Aww.
But gotcha. On the little guy, I rolled an 18, aww. Missing the crit by one again.
Next up is the Outrider's turn. With the death of the big guy, the Outriders make this at advantage this time. I have rolled a 14, so things are beginning to even back out. And there we go. That is going to take us to Harper. It is your turn.
Chase, does it completely fuck shit up if I go, if I magically get my way up toward the Meredith crew fight?
Not at all, but you will be leaving behind Ignis.
Yeah, but Arabin's there, and
okay.
Meredith... I don't know how they're just doing up there. Yeah.
Just reminding you of the consequences.
No, I know. I know. Okay, here's what happens is... big guy goes down. I see Arabin go darting toward Ignis. Ignis is doing rough. Cecil's doing rough. Luke is doing rough. Mm-hmm. I think it only stands to reason that Harper would think that Meredith is doing rough. Mm-hmm. And I, like, look to Luca. It's like... Captain, can you hold things down here?
Go.
Okay. I stick a little tag on myself, and then I slingshot another one 90 feet up into a cave entrance, mm-hmm. and I cast Vortex Warp on myself.
Okay.
And I go into the fray.
Absolutely. All Outrider checks will be made at advantage. If I still roll low, Harper, you are taking damage.
Copy that.
Cool.
Bonus action, Ignis's turn. He is going to self-repair.
Cool.
And he restores 2d8 plus 3 hit points.
Handy.
As he sort of, as seeing Arabin come in and assist, he briefly turtles up, and some internal servos kick on.
Okay.
He heals 13 hit points.
Okay.
Torkoal used recover.
That ends my turn. I take any movement that I have into the fray, just looking for outriders.
Absolutely.
To assist. I'm calling Meredith! And I'm just going into the fray.
That is going to take us to the lineholder's turn. Harper, you are in the thick of it, so you are not taking the ranged attacks anymore. It's just going, and under the scintillating shield, neither is Cecil. Just going to be Arabin and Luca. Arabin, that is going to be at 18 to hit you.
That hits.
Okay. That is going to be... Even on a d12, sometimes you can roll a 1, just 3 damage. Nice. Luca is also going to be taking a hit, and that is going to be a little bit more than that. And that takes us to the one that is actually fighting Ignis. 2 attacks, a miss and a hit.
Cool.
That is 11 damage.
He's still up.
Okay.
Still greasy.
Luca's turn on this thing. That is a... Probably, actually... What did I give him? 6. Okay, that is a miss and a hit. And we are... We'll do one more.
Captain, please don't let my tortoise die.
All right, this is just going to be... He's going to drop a slightly lighter smite on this guy.
And he has an extra action.
You're right, he does. And another hit. We are out of smites. Luca, in a final moment of desperation, realizing things are at that moment where only the high captain can make the call, swings through and cleaves the last of the line holders down on the ground in twain. As it falls, a cheer erupts everywhere as he shouts, "Outriders, together!" The rest of the cleanup of the battle is quick and bloody. Outriders stand together, strong. No fatalities, but there are some pretty serious injuries going on. Harper, as you finally make your way and find Knight Captain Meredith, you realize that she took some pretty nasty hits. She was basically bloodied, and Luca wasn't doing much better himself, even after healing himself up there.
I just want to say what happened when Luca killed that guy.
Uh-huh.
Because Arabin had the Hexblade curse on him.
Yes.
So the blood that was on on Arabin's sword, the blood did not go into the sword as it usually does.
Sure.
Went up Arabin's arm into an open wound, and Arabin regained 10 HP.
Gross. I love it.
Respect.
From your individual positions, you begin to do some reconnaissance on your own. Luca begins to kind of command people to, go to where they are best. Cecil, he keeps you nearby. You've been hurt. He's still got a little bit of healing juice if worse comes to worst, but you're having a moment for sure. Arabin, he sends you and Harper to go into the cave and start doing some investigation. Cecil, it is you and Luca. You're standing over this boss. And Arabin, did you share the tag that you saw with anybody?
I probably would have told Luca about it.
Sure.
But I don't know that I would have told everybody about it.
No, absolutely not. Luca, knowing to look for it, instructs Cecil, "Hey, Arabin said he saw like some kind of like marker or something on the guy."
Right, great. One sec. Cecil pulls out the greater healing potion and downs it.
Ah, good call.
So that is going to be 13 hit points back, so that's going to help.
Oh, yeah.
Still bloodied. And, right, yes, let me see what I can find. And the potion, like, magically regrows the burned-off skin back a little bit, and it leaves it fresh and new. Almost too new. It looks a little off. It looks a little off. This did not work right.
Nah.
Do I see the tag? Do I have to look for it?
It takes a moment of like moving the armor around a little bit just because things have been jostled as he hit the dirt. But yeah, you see it and you pull it out.
Pull it off and hold it up.
You haven't seen one of these in many, many years. Not since you were like regularly hunting like bandit parties, specifically bandits of escaped convicts. This is a prisoner's tag, a resident of a royal prison.
24601.
Damn it, Justin. Don't step on my joke. It's a good joke. Luca, I didn't think that things were going to get more complicated, but here they are. And I just hold it up.
He takes it from you. Oh, that's complicated.
It is. Yes, it is.
He looks over his shoulder and sees the and like positions himself, and he sees that the two crown investigators are nearby. They're taking a look at one of the other undersigned, one of the line holders, so they are not immediately looking at you. Tell them
how you talked about. Chase earlier talked about they like report directly to Sterling, or they like work for the government.
They report to Sterling. They are his direct report.
Are there others around?
There's a couple other outriders around, and Monet Morris is also there. Yeah, but that's it.
I do not trust that one. I am going to quickly. I'll whisper to Luca and say, I think very few people need to know about this. And I'm going to do a nifty bit of magical sleight of hand and kind of palm it back. And as we touch palms and it hits my hand, I'm going to cast minor illusion on it and turn it into just like, I don't know, like an old knife. So it looks like I'm just pulling the knife out of it.
Sure.
And put that in my pocket.
Absolutely. Done. No questions asked. That is there. Everyone is distracted. That is an easy enough maneuver for you to pull off. Yeah. Done.
That was something that I think Cecil's done a handful of times. And
a really clever use of minor illusion.
Yeah.
I'm not saying we don't tell anyone. I'm saying we tell only Evelyn when it's just her. That's all, Luca.
No, good call. Good call.
On a pocket that
Morris guy.
No, I don't. And this is a lot. We need to think about it for a second. And kind of investigate the rest to see if there's anything else. Are the undersigned's bodies like disappearing?
No, they're not. I mean, they are. It's just like the ones that you found at Loot Home. You know, they're sticking around. It's not like a video game, like despawn kind of situation.
Right. Start taking notes to compare to other things that we've already seen and done and start documenting.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
But this means, Luca, this isn't over.
Not by a long shot.
No.
I didn't think it was going to be. The camera pulls back and dollies into the cave. This system of caves is small and snaking and seems to work itself in and out. It looks like at some point this was a very small mining operation. Harper and Arabin, the two of you are down on that ground floor and have made your way into where the boss was.
Ignis has the headlights on.
Absolutely. Ignis kind of puttering along behind, you know, still got a little hitch in the giddy up, what with the stabbing. But you two are able to locate a room, a chamber near the back of the hall where it looks like the leader was actually posted up. And you're getting the impression, like, because this was, like, very clearly a leader that, like, seemed to act and move with more understanding than a lot of its companions, this thing had an intelligence to it. And that is reinforced by coming in here. It's not a lot, but it is clear that there is an understanding of language and orders going on here. Both of you go ahead and roll me an investigation check.
16.
7.
Erebin, you find yourself kind of investigating. It looks like, I mean, they look like treasure chests, and they are treasure chests, and you crack them open, but instead of finding anything one would want, you just find more of this armor at different sizes. This red armor with the black circle within. Harper, you, however, find the desk. You're kind of sifting through. You can only imagine how ridiculous this thing would have looked sitting at a desk, like in a chair. But sure enough, like, there is a
incredible, like,
yeah, like there a rickety chair that seems to have certainly seen better days. There are with a 17, you said 16? 16, you can see that, like, the chair has, like, fresh cracks in it from where someone too large for it was sitting and the wood was bowing. But you see that there is a letter. There are orders. They are not handwritten. They were stamped by something, as if someone was trying to not write.
Are they in but you can common?
For the most part, it is orders to actually come to this place and stay in position. The orders were actually sent to another location, though, so you know where they came from. It is a spot known as Aetherfinus. Go ahead and roll me history or straight intelligence.
That's basically the same thing for me.
Fair enough.
That's a dirty 20, though.
You feel like you've heard it before.
I found like a set of orders or something. It's weird. They were told to stay in position here. I thought they were marching like down to Imozrin, but I don't know. Hey,
so do you think they know we're coming?
I have no idea. Hey, does this mean anything to you? And I'll show Erebin the text and see if I don't know what languages you speak.
I do speak Abyssal.
Yeah, it translates very simply. Saunter's Fall.
Hey, Chase. Hey, Chase.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Thank you for joining us here on Another Path. You can find our website and merch store at anotherpathpodcast.com, on Twitter at anotherpathpod, and our network at ghostlightmedia.net. You can support our efforts by donating at patreon.com/ghostlightmedia or by giving us a rating and review over on Apple Podcasts or whatever podcatcher will let you. You can find me on Twitter at TQLoudly, Griffin at Griffcold, and Ryan at RyanMortal20. You can find Justin on TikTok at JustinMichael, and myself at TQLoudly. We'll be back in 2 weeks with a new episode, and until then, remember that everything old can be new again.
This has been a Ghostlight Media production.